Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Do we really have a right to our own belief? You know, the average person thinks yes. Yes, every man has a right to their own belief. But in the reality of it, take for instance the Muslims. They don't believe it. In a short summary of the Islamic beliefs that was collected by Lambert Dauphin, here is a statement that I quote. The Aramaic term Islam literally means surrender or submission. Islam believers, known as Muslims, from the active participle of Islam, accept surrender to the will of Allah, the Arabic word for God. Allah is viewed as a unique God, creator, sustainer, and restorer of the world. The will of God to which man is to submit is made known through the Quran, revealed to his messenger Muhammad. Muhammad, it is claimed, was the last of the great prophets, which included Adam, Noah, Moses, Jesus, and some others. The basic belief of Islam is expressed in the Shahada, the Muslim confession of faith. There is no God but Allah. Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. End of quote. So, not really the Muslims believe that we have a right to our own belief, and really the Jews don't believe it. In the website, JewFAQ, frequentlyaskedquestions.org, I quote, "The closest that anyone has ever come to creating a widely accepted list of Jewish beliefs is Rambam's 13 Principles of Faith. Rambam's 13 principles of faith, which he thought were the minimum requirements of Jewish belief, are: God exists, God is one and unique, God is incorporeal, that is, no material form, God is eternal, prayer is to be directed to God alone and to no other, the words of the prophets are true, Moses' prophecies are true, and Moses was the greatest of the prophets. The written Torah, first five books of the Bible, and the oral Torah, teaching now contained in the Talmud and other writings, was given to Moses. There is no other Torah. God knows the thoughts and the deeds of man. God will reward the good and punish the wicked. The Messiah will come. The dead will be resurrected." So, again, end of quote. Again, we see that even when it comes to the Jewish perspective, they don't believe that a person has a right to their own belief. And two, when you look at atheists, atheists don't believe that we have a right to our own belief. And I quote from a book entitled The Meaning of Atheism, which is the little blue book, number 1597, and I quote, "We, of course, believe in the force of reason and argument and persuasion. Yes, and the force of ridicule and denunciation all legitimate and free weapons which we can employ against religion. In short, we believe in the clarifying conflict of ideas. And as religion cannot be defended intelligently, we know that in the long run it must be conquered. It remains yet, however, as a serious and major issue in the thoughts and actions of men. Granting we naturally do, the fullest right of every man to believe in any theory of religion or politics or social conduct which is preferred by him, we do not forget that we have an equal right to promote our own ideas and to attack relentlessly and clearly ideas which we recognize as vicious in theory and inevitably vicious also in practice. End of quote. So truly, atheists don't believe that we have a right to our own belief. And two, denominations, they don't believe in that fact either, that we have a right to our own belief. In fact, recent events in the news have brought to light the teachings of the gospel of Christ, and many of the media people are having trouble with the truth. In fact, there was a member of the Church of Christ in Selma, Tennessee, was asked if he thought the church was a cult because women were not allowed to preach. And, of course, 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 to 15. I believe this may be a beginning to a much more scrutiny of the church, which may well bring persecutions that we must be ready to face. Remember, Peter said in 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 14, "For even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who reviled your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." What does the Bible say about our right to our own belief? We've looked at the Muslims, we've looked at the Jews, we've looked at the atheists, we've looked at the denominations. Now what, really, to get down to it, what does the Bible say about our right to our own beliefs? When you look at Cain, did he have a right to his own belief? You know, we read about him in Genesis 4. In verse 2, it says that then Eve bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was his keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." We know, too, from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, that by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though he being dead, still speaks. So we see that God did not accept Cain's offering. The offering that he offered was the fruit of the ground. Abel, on the other hand, offered to God the firstlings of the flock. And the Bible tells us here in Hebrews 11 and verse 4 that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. What is by faith? Well, Romans 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain, And it was by faith that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Then Abel heard what God wanted done when it come to the offering of sacrifices. Therefore, he brought the best of the flock. Cain, however, brought forth not what God authorized, but obviously what Cain authorized. Cain didn't have a right to his own belief. He had to offer what he offered by faith, and that only comes from the hearing and the doing of what God's will teaches. You remember the story of Naaman, who was a leper? We read about it in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. In wanting to be cured of his leprosy, he made a journey to Elisha. And Elisha sent a servant out and told Naaman to go dip in the river of Jordan 7 times, and his flesh would become to him pure. Naaman had other ideas. Naaman became enraged because of what the servant said and because of the things that had occurred. He admitted to his own servants that really what he thought was that the prophet would come out, he would wave his hand over the place, and some great spectacular thing would occur that would result in the curing of his leprosy. In fact, Naaman said there in about verse 10, "Behold, I thought." Well, did Naaman have a right to his own thought? No, not when it conflicted with what the prophet had told him. The prophet, having the word of God, told Naaman to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman was enraged because he was going to have to go to the Jordan, and he even asked the question, are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar far better than Jordan? And thinking, too, that it was going to be some spectacular event that the prophet was going to engage in, all of this went contrary to what Naaman had in mind. So, friends, is it what we have in mind that makes it right, or is it what God requires that makes it right? So do we have a right to our own belief? Did Naaman? Let's look at one other one, Saul, who, of course, later would be known as Paul. Paul didn't have a right to his own belief. In Acts 22, when he gives a defense, beginning with verse 1, he said, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Sicily, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was jealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all of the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there, to Jerusalem to be punished." So you see, Paul was doing all of this contrary to God's will. But he all the time was thinking that he was doing the will of God. And neither were the Judaizing teachers, were they entitled to their own belief? Because in Acts 15, they were going about among the Gentiles, teaching them that they had to be circumcised and keep other parts of the law of Moses in order to be saved. But friends, Christ has all authority, and his teaching must be obeyed. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM, and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.